Insights.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to the Insights program. I am Anubha Rohatgi. In today's edition, we will talk about UN report on India's strong economic growth, key highlights. Listeners, according to a recent report by the United Nations, India is expected to remain fastest growing major economies in the world this year, with a growth rate of 6.4%, despite the current geopolitical situation arising from the ongoing West Asia crisis. So what are the factors working in favor of India? Can the economy remain immune to global uncertainties? To answer these and other questions on related issues, economic analyst A.K. Bhattacharya now joins me in the program. Mr. Bhattacharya, welcome to Akashvani's Insights program.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Mr. Bhattacharya, the United Nations mid-year update of the World Economic Situation and Prospects 2026 report has painted a rather, let's just say, not a very rosy picture of the global economy. And the reasons, of course, are the uncertainties and economic shocks arising from the ongoing Iran conflict. But the same report has also revised downward India's economic forecast for this year to 6.4% from the earlier 6.6%. However, the good news is that even then, the pace of growth of the Indian economy continues to be one of the fastest in the world. Mr. Bhattacharya, your first comment on this.
It's good news that India will continue to be the fastest growing major economy in the world. But what we have to see is that this is a mid-year update. Obviously, this will be revised, maybe depending on how global economic factors undergo a change. We still don't know which direction the West Asian conflict is moving. How long will it take to resolve? How long will be its adverse impact on availability of energy sources, energy fuel and everything? So this is a media update to the extent that it says that our growth rate will continue to be above 6%.
Yes.
But please remember that this is lower than what we grew. What was our growth rate in 2025-26? 7.4%. So this is a deceleration. But nevertheless, it's something that one country should feel good about. Yeah. But it should also not underestimate the potentially damaging impact that the war may have going forward.
So before we go on to that aspect, I want to ask you, what, according to you, is the biggest factor that is working in our favor so that we are performing much better than many other economies? Or would you say that it is a combination of factors that are boosting our growth engine?
You're right. I think it's a combination of factors. Mm-hmm. One, I would say, is that the government has managed the impact of the West Asian crisis quite judiciously, because at a time when every other country was allowing pass-through of higher crude oil prices through their retail networks, the Indian government decided in its wisdom that it should wait and watch and see how long this duration this thing will impact. So the government took the hit on itself by reducing the additional special excise duty on petrol and diesel so that oil companies don't have to take a bigger burden of the under recoveries than they were doing. So, but now about 2 months are going to be over and the oil prices continue to remain elevated, the government has begun gradually allowing the oil companies to pass on the impact of the crude oil price increase. So that deft management, I would say, has definitely helped preserving India's growth prospects for the current year. That's number one. Number two is you have to recognize that India is inherently a consumption-led economy.
Yes.
And consumption has not yet seen any adverse impact of whatever is happening in the globe. We continue to diversify our oil import from Russia, from the Latin American countries, US even. So what has happened is that we have used our different connects with different countries to ensure that there is no major supply bottlenecks or supply shortages of petroleum products and other services. As a result, the pace of economic activity has not been impacted the way it is, it may have impacted many other countries. And number three, we have come out with various schemes like the emergency credit guarantee scheme, almost covering loans worth 2.5 lakh crore and also to the airline companies for around 5,000 crore so that their access to credit system carries a guarantee cover coming from the government. Now, this is at one level, the government is not under attack because only 18,000 crore is impacted. At another level, it provides a lot of comfort to a large number of MSME units. And as you know, the MSME units account for almost 90% of the country's economic activities, I mean, in terms of industrial activity. So that is also helped. So at one level, consumption. Mm-hmm. Second level, the manufacturing sector has got the credit guarantee support. And third is the graded response to the oil crisis. The kind of forecasts, which as I said, is a mid-year update, which to at this level.
Right.
We do not know how these agencies look at the Indian economy 6 months down the road. But as of now, this is the reason why they think that India will grow at over 6%.
Now, even though we are among the fastest growing economies, but being a large energy importer, we are not immune to current global challenges, according to the UN economist Ingo Pitterel. So what can be done in terms of government actions and policies to improve our immunity, if I may put it this way? Of course, you mentioned that till now the government absorbed a part of this price rise in crude oils. But now, of course, it has allowed the OMCs to pass on part of that, increase to consumers. So from the point of view of the government, what more can be done?
Certain things have been done already. For example, the government has initiated some early steps for gasification of coal and providing alternative sources to reduce our dependence on the fossil. That coal gasification project, if it gathers momentum, can be of great help in immuning the Indian economy from this import dependence to the tune of 88 to 90% of our energy imports comes through these imports.
Hmm.
And coal, as you know, that we have abundance of coal reserves domestically. And if we can gasify coal and meet our energy needs to some extent, it will definitely help. And the government has already come out with this scheme. So hopefully things will happen soon. That's number one. Number two, we need to pay more attention to oil exploration in the country. It is not that we don't have reserves.
Mm-hmm.
We do have identified reserves, but we haven't made much progress in concluding oil exploration contracts and not made much progress in that. So I think renewed effort must be made to reduce our dependence on imports of this area, in this sector.
Right.
And finally, what I would say is this, that we need to ensure that the oil sector is necessarily emitting the price signals to the market over periodically,
right,
in the sense that there was no price changes for the last 4 years.
Yes.
Although it is not that price changes were not occasioned by developments in the last 4 years, I think oil companies should be encouraged to pass on the periodic impacts of higher costs or lower costs to the market so that the economy gets used to these fluctuations a little more in a responsive way. So that these are the three things I would say that we can do to make the Indian economy a little more immune to these oil fluctuations.
Right. Mr. Bhattacharya, exports are a major component of our economy, and the UN report that we're talking about, it also says that India's growth will continue to be supported by strong services exports. Yet at a time when the global economy is slowing down, thereby affecting demand, it is bound to have an impact on our exports as well, isn't it? And then there are other factors such as rising freight and logistic costs and input costs. So how can India sustain its exports under these circumstances?
There is no way that we can completely insulate our economy from these adverse consequences. When oil prices go up, we'll have to be weathered by any economy. What we can do is this, that as I said, that the domestic resilience or the domestic reliance has to increase. Number two is that we must focus a lot more on improving our competitiveness through greater international engagement on trade front and investment front, as we have begun doing in the last few years.
Yes.
We have signed many free trade agreements with different countries and different regions. Many of them are yet to be implemented, but agreements have been signed. So these are all good signs. We get into those agreements, your export prospects are protected and enhanced, and your reliance on only services actually come down a little. The fact of the matter is that we are still very much dependent on our services export earnings and remittances on our current account balance. So if remittances take a hit or services exports take a hit, our merchandise goods exports cannot really absorb that adverse impact of these two areas. So it is important to improve our resilience, domestic resilience, through greater engagement with the world through these foreign free trade agreements, as well as improve our domestic capabilities and production facilities of the oil sector in the country.
Now, when we're talking about India growing at a higher pace than many other countries, how crucial is our domestic market in powering that growth? Because like the report says that the resilience of the private consumption is another reason for, you know, India's growth. So how crucial and important is our domestic market?
It is very important. The domestic market is very, very important. As I was saying earlier, that India is a consumption-driven economy. We have investments that do play a role. Almost around 30-32% of our GDP is investment, but much larger, almost double of that, is consumption. And what we have, we have a large population, and this population and many rural economy is very large. Mm-hmm. When the rural economy consumes, then obviously even many of the manufacturing sector, like the FMCG companies, they also benefit in terms of their higher sales and therefore higher profit, and therefore more surpluses, and therefore possibility of greater investment into the economy. So that's very, very important. So our consumption needs to be sustained. For that, the government's various measures, like take for instance, free food grain scheme, which has been continued. What this does is this insulate the lower half of the people, the economy in that ladder. It insulates them from any food price related shocks. So that also is what the UN must have taken note of.
Right.
That when in a crisis-like situation, when almost 810 million people continue to get free food, what happens is that any adverse impact of higher oil prices on food prices, food particularly, food grain, they are muted. So the adverse impact on consumption in that sense is much less.
Right.
So these are some of the measures that actually have helped the Indian economy. But please remember that, as I said, there's a mid-year update. There is a monsoon that is threatened by El Nino.
Yes.
So we will see it after 3 months or so, that where we stand. But as of now, it seems to me that the global agencies, including the UN, is looking at a growth rate which is not very high. Please remember, Indian economy needs to grow at 8% plus rate.
Right.
So at least 6% plus growth rate is something that you cannot easily dismiss.
Right. Now, the very last question. Now, countries such as ours, which are large importers of crude oil, also have to deal with the pressure of rising inflation when energy prices rise, as is happening right now. And that obviously has a direct impact on economic growth. So how challenging is this for the Reserve Bank of India?
It is a big challenge. And the RBI Governor, Mr. Sanjay Manotra, has already made some statements in this regard. He has said that if fluctuations in crude oil prices, he will look through them and not respond to these things with any interest rate actions. Now, this is reassuring, because what happens is that if there is inflation goes up, then the Reserve Bank of India's Monetary Policy Committee will be encouraged to come in and will look at interest rates and see in what way it can be tweaked. So one has to wait and watch to see what kind of final action the Reserve Bank of India will take. But there's no doubt the Reserve Bank of India will be closely engaged with what is really happening on the price front.
Yeah, we will know what the Reserve Bank of India decides, you know, when it convenes its MPC next month in June. But on that note, Mr. Ekki Bhattacharya, thank you so much for joining us on Akashwani's Insights program.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was a discussion on the UN report on India's strong economic growth, key highlights. Listeners, you can listen to this program again on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official, and on our mobile app, News on AIR. Insights.